Happy Monday to you, and welcome back to the DriveCast. My name's Dean. I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus, and I hope you had a great Father's Day weekend, and certainly if you have a great dad who's still with us, I hope you took the time to acknowledge and certainly thank them. We jump back into our series that's called FaceTime, where we are looking at the reality that Jesus wants a personal relationship with you, not a religious relationship or not a legalistic relationship or not even a relationship where he's just kind of far off and distant and you kind of do whatever you want to do. But he wants us to be personal with him. That's why I think in John's gospel, when John refers to himself as the one whom Jesus loves, that was his primary identity. That's primarily the way that John saw himself, as someone who was loved by Jesus, which just reframes everything. If I have Jesus's love, then I don't need your love. I'm grateful for it, right? I'm grateful that I have it, and it's an incredible blessing. But if I have his love, I can live without other love, not perfectly, but intentionally. And so what we looked at in John chapter 2 is kind of an odd miracle, to be honest. This idea of Jesus turning water into wine. If you're thinking about John, you know, you're introducing the Messiah, the King of Kings. And one way of introducing people is to ask, you know, what do you do? And so the thing that John chooses, that's not the healing of someone with a chronic illness. It's not the maybe the restoration of a smaller group of people. Maybe people who are struggling underneath some sort of a plague or something like that. Not dethroning a world power, but the thing that John chooses to introduce us to Jesus is that Jesus makes some really high quality wine. And it doesn't make sense, but it does make sense when you really read through and think through the narrative. I just to introduce the narrative, one of the things I said to our church is just, you know, we don't tend to talk about like barrier sins. Like the tradition, church tradition that I grew up in, some people, not all the people, but some people, like if you drank wine or didn't drink wine or alcohol, like that was the thing that made you spiritual or maybe not spiritual, right? And the biblical writers never use that as a benchmark. However, they do say that we need to be careful about drunkenness. That's a sin that's outside of God's bounds because the physical effects of alcohol can overtake the influence of the Holy Spirit, right, in our lives. And I just said to our church, you know, like if this is an area where you struggle, if alcohol is a problem for you, don't let this wreck your life. Like, I have people very close to me who struggle with alcoholism. There is a strand of it on one side of my family. I've seen some of the effects of it. And so, man, please reach out. We will do everything we can to help. We have people at our church who, with God's help, have beaten alcoholism. And man, we would love to be a blessing and a help. Part of this narrative in John 2, there's miracle and message that go along together. And the miracle, right? Jesus makes, 100 to 120 gallons of the best wine people had ever tasted. There's a different message that I think is here. And it's this idea we have a joy crisis. Mary comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, look, they're out of wine. Now, that was a huge problem. They were expected to at a wedding to feed people for a week, maybe up to a week. And I mean, this would have been a huge crisis, maybe enough to end a marriage even before it really ever begins. And Mary just lays this on Jesus's plate. And Jesus, he says, woman, my hour is not yet. Now, there's a lot of different ways to interpret that. You know, when he says woman, did he, you know, some people say that meant ma'am. He didn't say mom. He didn't say mother. I think Jesus here is building a fence around his authority. In other words, to say to his mom, you're not in charge of this area of my life. The hour, when he says that, that's a very common, it's an important term. It's common to the Gospel of John. It's used in chapter 12, verses 23, 27, I think chapter 13, verse 1, again in chapter 17, verse 1. And when Jesus says the hour, he's referring to his crucifixion his resurrection, his subsequent ascension. So Jesus is just saying, listen, my time is, you are not in charge of this area of my life. That's what he says to his mother. And that's important because he's actually going to act in alignment with what Mary is asking him to do, to solve this problem. But I think Jesus sees this moment as a microcosm of why he came. Here are people who are maybe some of whom are finding joy, right, in satisfaction, in the celebration, and the wine runs out. And I think it's just metaphorical in some ways for Jesus that, man, everything that people tend to enjoy in the world, it's just like a revolving door. It's a revolving door of careers, a revolving door of loves. It's a revolving door of hobbies. And listen, it always runs out. There's nothing, it seems, enduring. And that's this idea. We have a joy crisis, a joy shortage, a joy famine, a joy drought, whatever you want to say. Enduring joy is just so hard. But Jesus came to make up the gap. Jesus came to drink the cup of God's wrath against sin, your sin, my sin, so that we could go free, so that we could have eternal joy. So we talked on Sunday about our oldest regular attending member who passed away a couple of weeks ago, Moynihan O'Brien. Most of her life, she was a zoologist, a trained biologist. She was a great mom to four boys, but not a believer most of her life. All four of her sons have come to faith. One of her sons brought her to LifePoint in her mid-80s. She ends up coming to faith. For the first time in her life, she starts receiving communion. Then at age 87, she tells her son she wants to be baptized. So we baptized her a few years ago. It's one of my favorite photos we've ever taken at LifePoint. When she comes up out of the baptistry, the joy that is on her, the peace that she has knowing that she is right with God, is such a good reminder to me of why Jesus came. Instead of drinking the eternal, right, the joys of heaven, he gave that up to come here and drink the cup of God's wrath so that you and I could have the cup of joy. So I'm going to pray for us that we can live out of that sense of joy today, and then you can have the opportunity to pray. Yeah, Lord, on this Monday, as we start a week, Lord, we don't want to live out of our own reserves. We don't want to try and dig our own wells. We don't want to try to fill up our own jars. These things that we tend to lean into for happiness and joy, God, they're always going to run out. And the world's always going to have a strategy. It's always going to have another self-improvement, another self-help, another way. But God, we know those don't work. We know those run out. So God, today we're saying that we're leaning into you and the fact that we are at peace with you. You have made our peace. You yourself are our peace. That's what the New Testament says. And so God, today we lean into you. Make us joyful and give us eyes to see what it is that you're doing. It's in your name we pray. Now you take the opportunity to pray as well.